Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Finally.
They finally gave me my own podcast.
Jerry comes to the Low Blows Network. One of the biggest legends of the Irish wrestling scene, Jerry talks to his wrestling friends and beyond about the hobbies in their lives that they're most nerdy about in Talk Nerdy To Me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's Talk Nerdy To Me with your host, Jerry. I am back in the studio once again, and I'm with that lovely man with that lovely beard, Dave. Dave, how the hell are you?
Not bad.
Any news for me?
Let me think. It's cold. It's, the scarves are getting wet. Yeah. One fell into a puddle the other day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's really that. Like, imagine the thought of bringing a cold scarf back. You're not going to wrap it around your neck, but the fact even carrying it, it's like a dead weight.
Yeah, that'd be really, really, because it's all moisture and, well, yeah, moisture, you know, that lovely word that I like to say.
Yeah, other than that, finishing up on college now. Like, we're two documentaries away from finishing everything.
Oh, so what's the plan?
After? Not really anything planned. I'm so focused on getting the finish first, so... No, trust me, when you're in the middle of something, you don't even think about the future, like, right then. I'm not that in sync with the real world yet, like, so.
Oh, I was the same when I went to college twice, and I dropped out twice, so, you know. But it's good to see that you're finishing, and it's, you're very close, Dave. Not too far away at all, anyway. But we don't have a guest in the studio this week, because this week we have a very special Nerdy News. And the reason I say that we have a special edition of Nerdy News, because, my God, we have loads to talk about.
Lots
We're not going to get through it all.
We can try.
But let's talk about last week, Dave. This day last week was the Oscars.
Indeed it was.
And, oh, my God, was there some absolute obvious ones, and then a little bit of a shocker then as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about that shocker, it being Parasite winning 4 Oscars and being... Best Picture.
Yeah, Best Picture. The director, Bong Joon-ho, got Best Director, if I mentioned that correctly.
Also, good man for saying the name.
Best Foreign Language Film. I don't know the other one, but it got the most Oscars with 4. Then you got Ford vs. Ferrari, 1917, and Joker, all getting 2 each.
Well, Joker got 2, though?
Yep. It got, obviously, Best Actor for Joaquin Phoenix, and Best Score as well. And the person who got the first female composer to win an Oscar as well. I can't pronounce her name. I think she's from Iceland, one of those places with the very complicated names. Forgive me for not. I have an easier time.
So most European and Asian countries.
Well, I find Asian easier to pronounce than Scandinavian.
Well, in fairness, now you got. I know you're trying to pronounce his name.
People.
The director of Parasite. I'm not going to try and pronounce his name, but I assume you said it right, and it seemed to. Sound right anyway, but he was very happy with himself at the Oscars, wasn't he? My God, he was just getting Oscars thrown at him left, right, and center. And what I find very funny is that so many people online, and I saw this video the other day, it's obviously some sort of YouTuber or Instagrammer or some whatever he is, American guy,
right?
Don't know his name, even if I did, I wouldn't endorse it. He was screaming and shouting, how did this film win Best Picture? It should have only won Best Foreign Film or Best Foreign Language Film, or whatever it was. That shouldn't be allowed to win Best Film. And I looked at that and said, I guarantee you that guy's not seen it. There's no way he's seen it.
Was he asked that?
No, it wasn't his own show.
Oh, he's ranting.
It was like a vlog or a blog or... Like what we do, but on his own and in front of a camera. And he would it was a serious rant, Dave, that he went absolutely crazy.
Red in the face.
Saying that, no, it should only be English-speaking films that win Best Picture. I was like, why?
Makes no sense.
Obviously, it was voted Best Film because it was the best film. Now, I haven't seen it myself, so I can't judge it, but I guarantee that guy didn't watch it.
Sure, they had films in the past where there's some Spanish or French movie that won Best Picture years ago. I don't know what the name was, but the director was obviously crazy when he won it as well. He had a movie once that won an Oscar, which had no language at all.
Silent.
The Silent movie. I forget what it was called, but But obviously, well, maybe it's different because it was actually titled in English, but I suppose so, we could still understand it. But if it was titled in English, the language, he'd be like, it's a foreign movie.
Yeah, no. They're just these guys. And there's a lot of people online. You will actually see, you only have to look at Twitter. Twitter's like one of the most toxic sites to go on for these types of things. Mm. And it's just people giving out about, oh, it shouldn't have won. It should have been 1917, or it should have been Joker. Now, there's valid points there. Two really, really good films. But obviously, Parasite won because Parasite was the best one.
Mm.
You know. But in terms of the Joker there, we have Joaquin Phoenix. My God, that man's winning everything.
Yeah, he won.
He's won Golden Globes, BAFTAs, Oscars for his portrayal as the Joker. I thought, you know, really, really good film. Now, he's been very outspoken while at the podium and talking about various different things, but you know, he has that platform. He's absolutely entitled to go up there and talk about it. And of course, again, people are giving out about him now. So, obviously,
why? Because of his
outspokenness, because of the little speeches that he's been having. But obviously, these speeches that he's been having, people have been cheering and clapping and applauding him for it. But you're just going to have, that's all you're going to have is people giving out about him, you know? But yeah, no, absolutely. He cleaned up at the Oscars. And of course, other people that cleaned up at the Oscars as well were Best Actress Renee Zellweger. I definitely want to watch this Judy film. Wouldn't be my type of movie, but I'd give it a go.
Well, certainly it's a type of movie where it would be like, because it's like a biopic, which it is.
Mm.
Like, you know, you can't help but be curious. Like, and to be fair, biopics have always historically done very well. Mm. In this case, like, Best Original Song was won for Rocketman.
Oh, right, okay.
So, which is
Elton John won his very first Oscar, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me if it was not his first Oscar, to be perfectly honest, but...
Interesting, yeah. And, of course, we've got Brad Pitt won Best Supporting Actor for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, one of Quentin Tarantino's films, and, of course, our illustrious leader, Mr. Rick Nash, gave us his views on that film, and obviously Brad Pitt is very deserving. I think it's Brad Pitt's first Oscar as well.
Yeah, that too.
So him and Leo have both won an Oscar now, which is not too bad. And then Laura Dern won Best Supporting Actress for Marriage Story. Now that's another film I want to see.
Mm. Wasn't what's her name, Scarlett Johansson, the main actress?
She's the main actress, and
the main guy.
I'm not a real Star Wars fan if I don't remember his name.
Really? You're saying you're not a real Star Wars fan?
If I don't remember his name.
Oh, I know. I know his name. Like, if I can't leave my head. I can't go from my brain to my mouth.
Yeah. I'm exactly the same. I know him. I can picture him. He's got long... Adam Driver. There we go. The performance of the two of them was fantastic in that movie. Well, from the clips that I've seen. So I really want to see this film now. And then the fact that Laura Dern has won an Oscar for it as well, it means it's obviously really good. So definitely another one I want to see. But let's just backtrack a little bit there. We were talking about Joaquin Phoenix, and obviously he was in The Joker, of course, you can't have The Joker without
Batman.
So of course, a brand new Batman. It's not Batman, it's The Batman.
And
they're very, very, you know, it's The Batman. It's not Batman, or Batman 1, or Batman Rise, or whatever. It's
The Batman.
It's The Batman. That's the way they're calling it. I have to say, when you've watched any of the previous movies, I like it when somebody says, oh, it's The Batman.
Mm.
And I like when they say The Batman rather than Batman. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about saying The Batman.
There isn't too many movies where it was like that, though. I think the only one I can remember... Heath Ledger's Joker referring to the Batman as the Batman.
Kill the Batman.
Yeah.
I like the way he said it. Yeah. And I think it was referred to in Michael Keaton's, the very first Michael Keaton Batman as well, the Batman, but maybe once or twice and that was it.
By both Jokers.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, yeah. And two of the best anyway.
So it's a little ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, when it comes to Jokers, I think there's a trilogy of really, really good. Now, there's some really good Jokers out there.
Of course.
But I think the trifecta, the holy trinity of Jokers has to be Nicholson, Ledger and Phoenix.
Mm.
Phoenix is obviously brand new to it now, but he's absolutely up there, and that's a lovely little trinity of really good live action Jokers.
Why not?
And let's not talk about the one
from the TV series.
No, he was good. He was better than the other ones. No, you're talking about, again,
another name which can't leave my head.
Jared Leto. Yeah, let's not talk about his.
That was different. I mean, I liked it.
It was different, but it wasn't good different, Dave. It was bad
It wasn't Oscar worthy, let's put that
No, not even close.
Which, you know what, is like, you can almost see the shame in it, considering he's an Oscar worthy, he was an Oscar winning actor himself.
Yes.
Like, so he won Best Supporting Actor for Dallas Buyers Club, I think it was.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's an interesting one, actually, yeah. Well, you see, so you know, just because somebody's an Oscar-winning actor, and, you know, it's not like he gave a bad performance, because he didn't. He did a really good performance as Joker. It just wasn't the right Joker.
Yeah, it didn't fit the... One could argue, like, it was a different concept to Joker. It felt like he was more of a rebel rather than a proper villain.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, driving through the prison in his fucking Bugatti. Like,
yeah, yeah, it's a strange one, all right. But
Which, as cool as it sounds, isn't... villainy.
Yeah.
It's just him being an asshole.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So let's talk about the Batman. We don't know really much about it so far except for the cast, and what a cast it is.
I'm looking through some of these names now.
Yeah. Some radio. Let's talk about Batman Bruce Wayne as Robert Pattinson.
Which we've talked about which you mentioned a few months ago. And again, it's something you have to... It's one of those ones where you think, and straight away you're like, I'm not sure. But then you think of it about it more, I'm like, well, actually. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you see, the thing about him is, I give everybody a chance.
Of course.
And, of course, when Jared Leto's Joker was coming out and you saw the trailers and the pictures and the stuff with the tattoos and the grill and all that on his teeth, everyone was up in arms. I said, no, give it a chance. You never know. It might be good. Now, I was proven wrong because he wasn't good. But I'm going to give Rob Pattinson benefit of the doubt. And I think he can only get better with the cast that is in this film as well. Look at the man who takes care of Batman, who would be Alfred or Alfred Pennyworth, being played by Andy Serkis.
I love that.
That man is amazing.
I love that.
I think he's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Talk about
Alfred.
A proper da for Oh, yeah. For proper Patterson.
Oh, yeah. Alfred is going to be absolutely amazing.
No.
Now, one that caught me off guard was Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
We're very, very strange because... You know, I look at the two original penguins, penguin from the TV series, and he had the top hat and the suit, and he had a little round belly and the monocle and whatnot. And then you look at penguin from Batman Returns.
Okay.
And he was just kind of dirty, grimy, actually looked like a penguin, was brought up by a penguin. So obviously it's a darker version of the penguin. So obviously this guy is going to be even more different.
Yeah, but in a way I can see this sort of being like, you know, the penguin from the Gotham TV series. It'd be like that sort of way.
I think that's where they're going with it.
Where it's almost like Edward Scissorhands type of penguin, if that makes sense.
So it'll be interesting to see how Colin Farrell plays the role. Zoe Kravitz playing Selina Kyle in Catwoman.
Never heard of her.
You never heard of Zoe Kravitz?
What was she in?
Oh,
don't look at me. Listen, I honestly don't know.
I've heard of her, but I don't know what she's in. Okay, well...
The name rings a bell, but
the
I don't
name,
know.
Yeah, I'm assuming she's to do with Lenny Kravitz. I don't know.
Just looking her up now. Her daughter. His daughter.
His daughter. Well, there you go. So it was Lenny Kravitz's daughter. There you go. So,
there you go.
John Turturro playing Carmine Falcone. So Carmine Falcone was in the most recent Batman trilogy. But it would be said that he was a minor character, whereas John Turturro playing him, that could be interesting.
Yeah,
he's a very versatile actor. I think he could play him really, really well. You've got Paul Dano, who's playing... I don't know where they're going with this. Edward Nashton.
What happened to Edward Nigma?
Nigma. I don't know why they've changed the name. So obviously we're going to find out in the film.
Maybe it's a relative.
But it's obviously the Riddler. So yeah, it could be somebody completely different. You've got Jeffrey Wright playing James Gordon.
I like that.
James Gordon. Again, most people know as Jim Gordon. I know it's a different type of James, but it's fine. And then Peter Sarsgaard. Now it's Sarsgaard, not Skarsgaard, not to be mistaken for the Skarsgaard family. And he's playing... a character I've never heard of, and I'm assuming it's brand new, never been in a comic before, the District Attorney Gil Coulson. So there's a lot of big hitters in there.
So he's probably the guy who looked up to Harvey Dent or something like that, maybe.
Without
realizing about the Two-Face scenario.
Exactly. See, the thing is for me is I was expecting Two-Face to be in this film because you've got You've got Penguin, you've got Catwoman, you've got the Riddler, yeah. and now Falcone. I was expecting to hear Two-Face, so I'm saying to myself, is this Gil Coulson going to actually be Two-Face? Well, are they going to take it away from Harvey Dent?
Well, considering the fact that Edward Nashton is named as the Riddler, and we know that the Two-Face was a DA before
what's tricking me. So I don't know.
But that says we'll be overdoing it with the villains then.
Well, this is the thing. We're talking about all these villains.
Yeah.
But have you got an arch villain there? You don't. Could they conceivably put in Joaquin Phoenix in there?
Possibly. But...
Or would that be overkill? Or like, you see, you look at Batman Begins.
Hmm.
And you had, obviously, Batman. You had Falcone. Hmm. And you had Scarecrow. But then right at the very end, you saw a Joker card. And that was obviously teasing him for the next movie. So, obviously, they're going to want to make more films after the Batman.
I find that it might be overkill now simply because of the stature of Joker at the moment, as of late, because of this movie. And one could argue...
He would overshadow everything, wouldn't he?
Exactly. And yeah. and that would defeat the purpose of the Batman, or the Batman, whatever yeah. it's the way they're pronouncing it.
Well, either way, if
For a second movie, or yeah, a sequel, absolutely, if it's going forward, yeah. it's not even a
if
question.
If Pattinson does a good job with this, I would love to see him with Joaquin Phoenix. I think that would be good.
That said, when you think about how outrageous Joaquin Phoenix has been, you can almost see him just coming in at the end and just giving a dance.
Yeah. Just a little dance down the stairs. I'm here, bitches.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, something like that. So you
or
never
he,
know.
Or he sees, like, if there's a bat slights in the sky or something like that, he just dances to it.
Yeah, like that.
He thinks he's in a nightclub. He has a champagne bottle in both hands and a gun in his pockets.
Oh, wow. I really like that. I really, really like that. But let's continue trying with DC stuff.
Yeah.
Birds of Prey. Out right now. Haven't seen it yet, so I don't have any spoilers for anybody. Have watched the trailers. I'm a big trailer fan. I like watching me trailers. Looks absolutely fantastic. Ewan McGregor playing Black Mask in it.
Of course.
I cannot wait to see him don the mask. I think that's going to be really, really good. But Dave, this was one of your ones. This is one of a bit of your news.
Yeah, so because it reached, it was most successful movie on box office last weekend, beating Bad Boys, and I think that was the one that was its closest rival then. It was just short of its budget of making $81.2 million in its first weekend from its budget of $84.5 million.
So they basically made their budget in the first weekend.
Almost, pretty much.
Wow, okay.
So by the time this goes out, they probably have made it more than enough then. So.
Oh, I'd say so. And the fact is, the reviews for this have been brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Not only the critics are liking it, but the fans are liking it as well. Mm. And they didn't like Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad was not very well received. And I think as part of the reason was because of Joker in it.
See, when you put that away, like, one could argue if the story could have been told without Joker when you think about that movie.
He didn't need to be in it.
He was basically a cameo.
Yeah. And I love the fact as well from the trailer of Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn has kicked him in the, you know, kicked him to the curb. He's gone. I've left Mr. J. I'm on my own now. Let's set up a little group of women. Let's go.
Because the main story was mainly Harley's story, Diablo's story, one could argue, and Deadshot's story.
I love Deadshot.
Oh, I'm so annoyed he isn't.
And Will Smith is not coming back. As far as we're aware, for Suicide Squad, is it two, or is it just another Suicide Squad? I don't know if they're even rebooting.
Whatever the case is,
it's a bit silly if they're rebooting it already.
Yeah.
But him as Deadshot was fantastic, and I hate to lose him as Deadshot. I'm hoping that maybe again in the future we'll see him, but we'll see. We'll see. Now. Here was another bit of news that you were sharing with us, Dave. Marvel developing Secret Invasion from Disney. Tell us about this.
So it's based on the 2007 comic book storyline where some of the Earth's heroes, God knows who they are, it could be anyone from the Avengers, have been shape-shifting Skrulls and became the first part of a planned invasion on Earth. Now, as it stands, Marvel are developing a Secret Invasion story for Disney+. And it somewhat comes on the back of... one of the last Spider-Man movies,
Far From Home,
exactly, where Fury became a Skrull.
Yeah,
so it's really on the back of that where it's coming from, and they say this developing will directly lead to the events of Captain Marvel. So it's like one of these after. So imagine it was like You know how they have some series in between the movies?
Yeah.
For Marvel, like, it's the best example I gave was probably Shields in between the lots of the Marvel movies. Like for the first or second phase.
And it's just, now, are we looking at a series here, a film, or a series? A series, okay. I liken the fact that they're doing a lot of series because you've got WandaVision is coming. You've got Falcon and Winter Soldier. Well, Falcon is technically the new Captain America. So Falcon and Winter Soldier is coming as well. And there's a few more different things in the works as well. So I'm liking the fact that we're getting a couple of series. Yeah, we'll see. I'll keep my eye on that now. That should be good.
Should be good.
Because
imagine if someone like, I don't know, can you imagine if Spider-Man himself became a Skrull? With a big face on
him. That would be interesting. But yeah, I suppose that could...
A spider with literally a spider's face on him. You know what I'm saying?
That's an interesting one.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Spider-Man just sprays everybody. You know, just traps the world in web. Makes the whole place look old. Makes the whole place look like everyone's shed. So.
Oh, so what Donald Trump is doing now. Let's talk about Star Trek Picard, Dave. We had the guys from USS Cullen in the last time.
Yep.
And obviously Star Trek Picard hadn't come out yet. We're now 4 episodes in. And I'm not going to spoil. I'm not going to do any spoilers for anyone. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's out there. I love it. I love it. And not only do I love it, but the fans and the critics love it as well.
That's what he wants.
It's not like The Next Generation, and I don't think anyone knew. I don't think anyone was thinking, oh, it's going to be like Next Gen. It's not.
Mm.
It's not anything like Next Gen. It's a much newer version, a darker version. You know, Next Gen was all like, oh, the Federation was nice, and Starfleet were the good guys, and not so much.
Mm.
But you're starting to see, without spoiling anything, you're starting to see that... all may not be as it seems. Starfleet may appear different, but it's for very specific reasons that they're different.
Yeah.
Now, that again, and no spoilers there, ladies and gentlemen. You won't get any spoilers from me for them, but watch it. I think it's very good.
You almost can't help but look back at Next Generation because of that.
Hmm.
I just watched the trailer again on YouTube, and they came up with all these database scenes from Next Generation.
Yeah.
Remember the time when you had all those weird dreams?
Yes.
And you saw someone take a piece of cake off someone, and you saw those three guys who in another dream dismembered him.
Yes.
Like, so.
Well, you see, they tell you, there's a lot of people online are telling you now that before you watch Picard, watch these 7 or 8 Next Generation episodes. Don't ask me what they are. But anything data-centric, watch on from Next Generation, because that will then lead on to things that are happening in. And again, I don't want to ruin anything for anyone if you haven't seen it, but we're four episodes in. If you haven't seen it, what the hell are you doing? Get out and watch it now.
Yeah, what the hell am I doing?
Exactly. But to go from good reviews, such good reviews of Star Trek Picard, to not so good reviews about a film that only came out in the cinema last week, which was the new Robert Downey Jr. Doolittle film. And this has been produced by him. He produced this film. The critics aren't giving it a good review.
So what are they
saying? Fans aren't giving it a good review.
Yeah, so what's so bad about it? What are they saying exactly?
They're just, you see, again, I don't want to get into spoiler territory. Yeah. It is out now. It came out last week. I was dying to see it because I love anything Robert Downey Jr. I thought he was fantastic in it. He plays Doolittle, obviously, but Doolittle is Welsh in it, and he does a very, very believable Welsh accent.
Oh, listen, like if you saw Sherlock Holmes... Wait a minute.
That's every time he spoke, I was like, oh, it just reminded me of Sherlock Holmes. And that brings me to another point. He is bringing out Sherlock Holmes 3.
Yeah.
I think 2022, 2023, around about that. So it's a couple of years still away. But to me, it was like, okay, well, this is kind of a little starter off point for
him. Just watched Doolittle alone just to see Robert Downey Jr. speaking in Welsh accents.
I thought he was fantastic. I thought the film was really good.
You can't help get a lot of it, like, especially in the back of the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we just had a lot of Welsh coming to Dublin.
Oh, exactly, yeah, so. Yeah. Now, the thing about it was, it's a silly movie.
Yeah.
It is a silly movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't trying to be serious. But I think people are taking it too seriously. I thought it was very good. It certainly left it open for a second one, but the problem with that is if it doesn't make enough money, they won't know. And the fact that it's only out a week, you expect cinemas to have a good showing, you know, a good few people in it. Myself and my wife went to see it. Myself, my wife, my son went to see it on Tuesday gone.
Right.
And there was like 5 people in the showing.
Really?
And it's only out a week. So
it's one of these ones that'll probably be a late bloomer, if anything.
I'm hoping so, because I would like to see a sequel to it, but just from seeing so few people go and see it to the bad reviews online, I'm like, oh, this is just going bad. You know, I thought it was very good, and I like silly films. Like I like going in and having a laugh, and there was laugh out loud moments in it. There really, really was, but we'll see. I'm hoping.
See, it's just on the back of all these other movies that are either serious or have this really intriguing story. Like that's why Joker was so did so well, because of it was both serious and intriguing at the same time.
Now I'm hoping that the reason that we didn't see many people in our screening was because the weather Monday, Tuesday last week were really bad.
Oh my God!
So I'm hoping that was the reason people's like, oh, I'm not going out in that weather. And that was the only reason. So I'm hoping more people go and see it, because I really would like to see a sequel to it.
Yeah, no, to be fair, you went on a Sunday, you said, yeah?
No, Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
Last Tuesday.
Oh, but Sunday. Like, let me tell you. We went into work and I was on Tuesday. You probably saw a video of this. But like on Sunday then, like I was drenched from basically waist to toe.
Okay.
Like, because the raincoats, it was great from the neck up and like down to the waist, but from the tie down.
That was the end of that.
Yeah, so here's me and my colleagues dancing to Ghostbusters on a piece of cardboard, drying our feet and our shoes. You know, and we have this thing where if one of us makes a sale, we
do a little happy dance.
Yeah, exactly. To Ghostbusters.
To Ghostbusters.
Yeah. No, if I can do that to the Imperium merch, then we're doing something.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, right, I'll hold you to that. Absolutely.
You know, it might work.
Well, yeah, you can step in time to that. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. But talking about sequels, you know, I'd love to see a Doolittle sequel. But talking about sequels, Dave, you have a bit of information on Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah, so there's at the moment, Indiana Jones 5 is in the works. And when I say works, it's in talks at the moment. Mm. There's been a lot of delays. Apparently, writers have been dropping out. And apparently there's been a lot of delays, but it has been 100% confirmed it will be a sequel as opposed to a reboot. Which means Harrison Ford will indeed be involved again.
Now, I was not a fan of the last one.
I enjoyed it.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, it was interesting because aliens. Of the second generation with Shia LaBeouf doing it as well, no?
You know, 90% of that film was good. It brought me back to it. It was a real old school Indiana Jones feel to it.
So a 10%
absolutely, brilliant. Yeah. Just the alien ship, just I just the end for me was
They probably just
everything else brilliant. But they meeting up with his old love interest, like Shia LaBeouf being his son, this adventure in the jungle. I like the fact that they did mention Marcus, who was one of his friends, and his father in as well, who would have been played by Sean Connery. Sean Connery was asked to do it, but he retired by that point. Yeah. Saying, yeah, I'm not doing it anymore. It would have been nice to see him back with Harrison Ford. I know they didn't like each other back in the day, so it might have played into why he said no. But the fact that it worked. It worked with him passing on and Marcus passing on as well. But it was a really, like, look at Star Wars. You know, you've got the original trilogy and you've got the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And they had real Star Wars feel. Whereas the sequels, they were Star Wars, but they didn't have that real proper Star Wars feel to them. I love them. Now, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love the new movies. But they didn't have that real Star Wars feel to them.
It's a new
Whereas
generation.
Indiana Jones, 1, 2, 3, real Indiana Jones, I was like, oh, 4, it's just gonna be like Star Wars. It really wasn't. It was fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Apart from the ending.
The thing is about that. The writers have probably looked at that and thought, you know, it's been a conspiracy for years. Let's just pretend it actually exists.
I get the whole Area 51 thing, and I get the whole, secrets and stuff like that. But I just didn't like. I just didn't like the whole alien part of it, so I'm hoping there's no aliens in the next one.
Yeah, but like...
I do like the fact that Harrison Ford is coming back now. How big in it is he? Is he going to be the main focus on it? Is Shia LaBeouf going to come back? We don't know anything.
It'd be really cool if he could, actually.
We see Shia LaBeouf has kind of gone off the deep end the last couple of years. He went absolutely crazy. I don't know whether, you know, I'm not going to say what he was doing, but... He went a bit crazy, got arrested a couple of times, has come back, has cleaned himself up, has come back, is doing a couple of movies again.
Yeah.
But has his reputation gotten him back up to the point where he's going to be trusted to be in this film? I don't know.
Well, he's working on his own passion projects at the moment, like involved more in the acting schools.
Yeah.
Like, he has his own school in Los Angeles, apparently.
Oh, okay.
So,
I didn't know that.
So I think he's more into that at the moment. But, like, he hasn't obviously been in any big pictures since Transformers, to my understanding. So, So I don't know. We'll see.
It will be interesting to see, but I am looking forward to it. I always I give everybody, every movie, every actor the benefit of the doubt and say, I'm going to give it a go. Over the last few years, when it comes to sequels and things like that, people have, I'm boycotting this or I'm not going to see that. And you're not giving them a proper chance. If you don't like it afterwards, that, you know, voice your opinion, but don't voice your opinion and not see it.
He seems to be in a, from what I've seen last time he was on, you ever see that thing on YouTube, Hot Ones?
Mm.
So he was on that. He was the first guest of the latest, not the latest series, but the one that before that. Like, I think the last one had Margot Robbie as the first guest.
Yeah, she's been on it recently. Stone Cold has been on it as well.
He did very well.
He did really well. He went through the whole thing.
Like it was nothing because he has that tough.
He's a tough, you know, and he drinks beer, so you know he's fine.
Well, compared to Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay, he was a little bitch on it. He really was. He just kept giving out. Oh, fuck me. Oh, God.
But what was so funny is like all the things he brought with him to try and help him. He brought his own milkshakes. He brought his own lemon and lime sprays.
Yeah.
That he used for cocktails, I think, or cooking or whatever. He brought a donut to, you know, take away
soak
the spices
it up,
from the sweetness. Spit out numerous liters of water.
And then Stone Cold just gets in there. Yeah, give me some wings. Boom. Eats the whole lot.
The toughest person I've ever seen, though, was Natalie Portman.
Really?
She plays through it like
it was
nothing. I
haven't seen hers, actually.
Yeah.
Again, I should really watch that considering I'm a Star Wars fan.
It's so funny.
I should give that one a go.
They had, who did they have from Star Wars on? I don't know who else from Star Wars was on it, though. Off the top of my head, I can't think anyway. Mm. Like, if it was from the new series, I couldn't tell you. That's what that was.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Not to worry. Right. Well, we're rolling through here. Now, Dave, you have a couple of more things that you want to talk about. Talk to me about Rocketeer sequel. There was, you know, Rocketeer film out a long time ago.
Now, Rocketeer is as a cult classic from 1991.
Yes.
Like, this was like a real old school hero movie. I grew up with this now, so like this is a kind of a bit of a treat for me. So as it stands, Max Winkler and Matt Spicer are working on a possible sequel for Disney Plus. Now, the new take is different. So it was originally set to be set a few decades after the original. The first one was around World War II. Mm-hmm. This one will be, as it stood originally, was a few decades after that, where an African-American female stops a Russian spy from stealing technology during the Cold War. But as it stands now, and as Rhea Squire is working on the latest draft for the script. So it's still in the works at the moment.
So we still don't know, really, if they're going to go with the original idea or if it's going to be brand new.
Certainly. They had a plan, but I think it's sort of, I don't know if it's they're sticking with that or they're just doing a brand new draft from scratch, but all the same, it's intriguing as hell.
Yeah.
Especially because it's modernizing it as well.
Now, I hope I'm not going to get this wrong. Rocketeer, live action. It was live action. Mm-hmm. It was a lovely kind of helmet, like a bronzy style brownie helmet. Am I right by that?
Imagine Iron Man before Iron Man.
There you go. Yeah, okay. I'm right by it, so I know exactly which one.
He had a backpacking set of coming in.
That's right. Well, put it this way: the guy that my go to guy for tattoos, which is Pat in Tattoo Heroes on the Keys, there, he is a huge Rocketeer fan. At the point, he's got a couple of little figures and things like that in his tattoo studio. So I'd imagine he's going to be really excited to see if there's a sequel. Now, again, over the years, people have been excited about sequels and then they've been disappointed. And, you know, let's hope this is not one of those times. It's going to be a properly good-made sequel. Now, is this, are we looking at a series here or a movie?
A movie.
A movie, okay. And now, you said Disney Plus, did you?
Yeah.
So it's going to be like a Netflix type thing, so it's going to be straight to, might get a limited release in a cinema like the Irishman.
Well, it doesn't make any sense for it to either to be in the cinema simply because it's not a big enough name. Like it's a cult classic, which means it's very particularly niche, even for the Marvel Universe or whatever you want to put in Disney.
So stick it straight on Disney Plus, it'll probably do better on that anyway.
Exactly. So you're better off.
Okay.
Now, if it did better later on, years to come, then it'd do another movie down in the cinema, but why bother?
Okay, Dave. So I have to tell you, Dave, you're throwing the news at me this week. CSI possibly coming back. Now, we're talking about the original CSI here.
This goes back to the one that was in New York.
Okay.
This one, so they're possibly talking back to doing a limited series this time. Mm-hmm. So CBS, the TV network in the United States, are talking to the original series creator, Anthony Zulker, about a limited series where it will take place in Las Vegas. Excuse me, the original series is also in Las Vegas.
Yes.
There's no word yet on if the original cast will return yet. So we don't know, for example, if it'll be the original cast or if a completely brand new cast. But either way.
They went through a couple of different main actors in that. And I think they finished up with Ted Danson, I think it was one of the main guys in it. When it did finish, didn't it? It did finish.
Oh, yeah. They finished... four or five years ago, I think it was.
Wow, that long ago.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
It was recent enough, like, but at the same time, it was longer than that. Maybe it was...
Now, I have to say, the original CSI was one of my wife's favourite shows to watch.
I preferred CSI Miami.
Because
of David Caruso alone.
Oh, no. God, no. It's like William Shatner-esque acting.
But it's...
No. Like, he'd walk into a scene and take his glasses off. My job here is done. Glasses back on, and he strolls off into the sunset like he's a western.
So
Ask me arse, no way.
But it's so 1982.
God no.
Especially because it's in Miami.
And the thing is, he's such a good actor.
I know.
So why did he have to overact the hell out of this?
Yeah, but you know how so many people have taken the piss out of him because of that.
Yeah.
That's what makes it funny.
But see, this is what I'm looking at that going. It's Shatner-esque because Shatner was so overacted in Star Trek. Now, when it came to the later ones, the movies and things like that, he wasn't quite as bad. But the way he spoke in all the original series, like, oh, jeez. No. And now,
Come in peace. CSI
Miami, no, I can't stomach it. Absolutely not. But it would be fantastic to see the original cast back.
In this case, I would be against it. I think they should go with the original.
Go with the original.
No, I'm with you. No, listen, I believe CSI Miami deserves to be later on in cult status.
Yeah.
Because of that alone, because of that cheesiness, if you like.
Yeah.
But that's what made it good for me. But I had that sort of weirdness to a series, to a program, like, you know, where it involves murder. So.
Well, see the thing about it is, the way, however you look at it, when it comes to CSI, you can be limited in one way and unlimited in another because, you know, there was that many different cases of murders and things like that. So, you know, you could just pick up all these little things. But then I was like, how far do you go with this?
Hmm.
You know? And they went, how many series did they go?
Oh, God knows.
God, it was a lot. Does it mean 10, 12? Hmm. Something like that.
I don't know for a fact.
I'm not 100% sure on that one now.
15.
15?
15 between 2000 and 2015.
Right, okay. That's interesting though, I have to say.
Yeah, but that's the original one. That was based in Las Vegas, and the concepts afterwards, the spin-offs and all that stuff. So, but yeah, it talks about the future of it here as well. I'm shamefully Wikipediaing this at the moment. They're talking to Jerry Bruckheimer as well about this as well. So who's the producer of it?
Well, he was the original producer, wasn't he?
Yeah, they're talking to him about it as well.
It'll be interesting to see now if he comes back for it. So if you can get him back, and the original actors back, the original characters, I think that would be very, very popular.
Yeah.
Be very, very popular. But we've got one more little bit of news here.
Right.
And it's Avenue 5.
Okay.
Have you seen it? Have you heard about it?
Of course I have.
You've seen it?
Wait, this is the musical?
No.
Okay, I'm thinking of...
Different.
Excuse me, I'm thinking of Avenue Q. What's wrong with me? Which for its own right is very funny, but go on.
Well, Avenue 5 is a brand new series. It's on Sky now at the minute. It is, how best to talk about this? It's futuristic, funny, it's not Star Trek or Star Wars or anything like that, basically. Hugh Laurie plays the captain, okay, and I love Hugh Laurie, absolutely fantastic actor, one of my favourites, okay. No. He plays the captain of a cruise ship, but it's a space cruise ship. So how it works is that this ship will travel from Earth, and they will slingshot around one of the moons of Mars, come back in the direction of Earth, and they should be gone for a couple of weeks.
So it's like one of those Babylon-type series, is it?
No, oh God, no. It wouldn't be like Babylon 5, no. It's I'd say it's going to be set maybe probably about 20 years from now. So okay. Say 2050. We'll say. I'm not 100% sure about it, but about 2050. And when you look at it, it doesn't start off like any sci-fi comedy series I've ever seen. It's
it's comedy based.
It's very comedy based. So, yes, absolutely.
So it's more Blackadder, John Laurie than House Blackadder.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Or than House John Laurie.
Yeah. So he is the captain of a cruise ship that cruises through our solar system.
Okay.
And basically, it's supposed to take a couple of weeks. So it goes from Earth, slingshots around Mars and comes back. So you're gone a couple of weeks and it's this luxurious cruise ship and every amenity possible is there. It's owned by a man named Judd, who was played by Josh Gad. Now, if you don't know who Josh Gad is, you know who Josh Gad is?
No.
You don't know who Josh Gad is?
No.
Little Snowman? No? Oh, hold on. You've never seen Frozen?
Of course I've seen Frozen.
So the Little Snowman. What's his name?
Okay, but doesn't mean I know what he looks like.
Well, that's just it. He's a voice actor, so I suppose.
Unless he has a car for a nose.
Yeah. Well, Josh Gad is he is the owner of this cruise ship, and he's on the cruise ship kind of overseeing things. Mm-hmm. So Hugh Laurie is the captain of the ship, but a catastrophe befalls the ship, and instead of it being a few weeks to get home, going to take them 3 years to get home. Olaf is the fucking snowman's name. Yeah, it's going to, instead of them taking 2 or 3 weeks on the cruise, it's going to take 3 years to get home. Mm. You know, these cruise ships have to use a kind of a slingshot around something to be able to get anywhere. So it's going to take them 3.5 years to get home, and hilarity ensues. You quickly find out that Hugh Laurie is not what he appears to be. Everything just breaks down from there. So many things happening in it. I think it's on its fifth episode now on Sky. I'm not too sure if it's Sky One or Sky Atlantic. Give it a watch. I like it. I think you know, give Hugh Laurie a go. Absolutely brilliant. A lot of good actors in it as well, and there is some Star Trek alumni in it as well.
Is that right?
I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to, you know, people, if you're a fan of Star Trek Voyager, give it a go, and you'll as soon as you see him, you'll know straight away. I'm not going to give the game away. Just watch it and see. Anyone can watch this. You don't have to be a fan of sci-fi to look. It's a comedy series. Give it a go. I love it. It's different. It's very different.
Yeah.
Even some of the jokes in it would be fairly out there, but I think it's very good. And so, just the fact that Hugh Laurie is so good.
So when you say it's out there, it'd be more for an over-18s audience then?
Oh, definitely over-18s. Well, this podcast is over-18s, so everything I suggest will be over-18s. It's very, very good. Give it a go. It's so many things happen.
Just a way to describe it, set in the future, mostly in space.
Yes. You see, they kind of go back and forth between Earth and the spaceship, Earth and the spaceship, to see, you know, NASA are mentioned, but it's like, this guy Judd is an asshole, basically, and he thinks he's the bee's knees, and his fleet of ships is the best thing. And basically, the people who are on Earth trying to help them ask NASA for help, and NASA just laugh at them.
I'm just looking at what he looks like. I know what he was in. Now he was in. Do you see the latest Beauty and the Beast?
Yes,
he was guest on.
Yes,
best friends, whatever. Oh, Lafau.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Sorry.
He's a great actor. He's very good in this.
Oh yeah,
he plays a dickhead really well, really. But it's like, it's one of those, how best to describe it? He's a stupid billionaire.
A stupid billionaire.
So he thinks, oh, I want you to fix that, and that's it. It'll be done. And I'm like, no, you can't fix something like that. It's not within the realms of science to be able to do it. Well, I have enough money, I think you can. And it's that type of thing. He's an idiot, but he's a billionaire, so he thinks he can do anything. I just think it's really, really funny. Give it a go, Dave. Ladies and gentlemen, give it a go.
No, I'm just looking at some of the characters here, and I want to see it for a lot of reasons now.
Laurie is fantastic.
There's Spike Williams' character.
Spike Williams
is the name of the character, played by Ethan Phillips. A former astronaut who is a womanizing alcoholic.
Well, that's see, now, Dave, you're just giving the game away there. That's the Star Trek alumni I was talking about. Ethan Phillips played Neelix in Star Trek Voyager.
Didn't say that here, sorry.
It's okay, but
my bad, sorry.
He again, he, you know, he's not in he's not in it for 25 minutes. I think this episode is about 20, 25 minutes. He's not in it for the full 25 minutes. Plays little cameo moments in throughout. And as soon as he pops up, you think, oh, shit. he thinks he's great. Because I used to be an astronaut, you know, and it's, yeah. He's real arrogant.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic. It's a great show. It's a great little show. I hope it comes back for a second series. I don't know how many episodes it's got. When you look at it, I'm currently on IMDb here,
mm-hmm.
and obviously they're in the process of updating it. But every actor seems to say 3 to 4 episodes, whereas there's one actor has 5 episodes, and I don't remember it from the show. So I'm like, oh, okay. Hugh Laurie is only coming in as 4 episodes, so I'm assuming they just haven't updated it yet. I think it's on its 4th episode now.
Yeah.
I think it's a full series, but how full a series, I don't know. Could be 10 episodes, could be 5 episodes.
It's scheduled for another 2.
Another 2, okay. So what's that, 6 altogether?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not too bad. They're very short episodes, so they're only about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's yeah, I wish it was a bit longer. Because you're only really getting into an episode and poof, it's over. And you're like, oh, come on, give us a bit more.
You know what I mean?
But absolutely. Myself and the wife have been watching this. She loves it. I love it. So, you know, give it a go.
Yeah.
Right. I think not a very, you know, we went through a lot there, Dave, in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, we played through it.
We really, really did. We got through a lot there. But like always, we're going to have to finish it there. But Dave, thank you very much.
Of course.
It's good to see you. Don't get to see you very often, but when we're in studio together, we have a bit of a laugh.
Indeed.
I will be recording a few more shows over the next few weeks, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in the studio and we'll be out of the studio. We'll be all over the place next month as well. I can't really announce it, but basically I have something coming up next month at Dublin Comic Con. Can't really say for sure exactly what I'm doing. There will be an announcement fairly soon. And that's it. It's both terrifying and exciting for me. So we will see.
Hmm.
But that's Dublin Comic Con next month. So yeah, it's watch this space and we'll see. Also, I do have to say that we have 2 winners from our competition from the last show, Dave.
Oh yes.
I'm very sorry that I haven't actually announced this.
It's better to announce it here than maybe,
yeah, I suppose, I just putting a random thing up online.
Plus encouraging to listen to shows.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, but we do have 2 winners, and I have to announce that the winners of the badges that we got from the USS Cucullin, rum roll, Dave. Yeah. Where Mr. Gordon Duffy, shock.
I don't even know who he is, but that's just funny the way he said it.
Yeah. I know who he is. That's all we need to say. And Mr. Christopher Morley, and you know Christo, Dave,
I do know,
you know.
Chris.
So this is no, this
go
wasn't.
Chase!
It well, that could go for him, and both winners could be questioned on that. Yes, absolutely. But Mr. Christopher Morley and Mr. Gordon Duffy, your badges are on the way to you now. There wasn't many people who answered it correctly, which I was a bit shocked about. If you're not, you know.
So they've truly earned this award.
They did earn it. They answered correctly. So, which I found very strange that they were some of the only ones that answered it correctly. So, but you know, nerds and all that. But yeah. It is a show. This is a show for nerds, by nerds, about nerds. So there we go. Not too bad. But Dave, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We will have a few more shows going over the next few weeks. I'm hoping to have an interview done with the owner of Dublin City Comics done next week. Mm-hmm. So that's Jason, Dublin City Comics. We're going to be talking to him. We're going to be talking, hopefully, with I won't mention who, but we're going to have somebody else in the studio over the next few weeks talking about Birds of Prey. We're going to have a full, proper review of Birds of Prey over the next few weeks as well. And then, of course, we've got a couple of specials when it comes to Dublin Comic Con. So very, very exciting days ahead. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Dave, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been Jerry. You've been Nerdy. Thanks very much.